views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
The way that I define myself is not necessarily how others define it, but like, here's like the loose way that, like, if you see this in text, it's more than likely it would be represented. Like, so if you're reading and you're like, this person is demisexual, you're like, I have an idea of what this means in context with what I'm experiencing. So that way you're not just like, that's a word, and then walking up to someone and saying something stupid.
I yeah. got you. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I mean, but words definitely do help, because, you know, they also help people who think they're alone, mm-hmm. or who think there's something wrong with them. Like, before I came out, like, I had no idea that being transgender was an option. I had never heard about it. I just knew that I didn't feel right in who I was.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't until I learned about it that I was like, oh my God, that's me. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So words and labels definitely help with the larger community.
Well, and just killing ignorance with representation, and that's why media is so important. Is I'm thinking about, like, transgendered characters in film, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at film from 30 years ago, and if you had a transgendered character, it was almost like a stereotyped, like, kind of joke character that was being...
They were always yeah. joke
yeah,
characters.
Being punched
jokes
down.
Jokes villains.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And now there's a lot more representation. There's mm-hmm. still plenty of room for more, but there's a hell of a lot more than there ever has been before. And it's growing. And I think that's why this episode is really important to have, especially leading into Pride coming to Richmond. That's kind of when we decided to do it when we did, mm-hmm. is we're doing an episode all about the LGBTQ+ community in film, in media, in comic books, literature, all of that, kind of our favorite representations, kind of what it means to have those characters, not the greatest representations, and better representations, and the progression between the two on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. So it's going to be, at points, a little bit of a heavier conversation, but we're clearly going to be cracking up and being dumb and weird as we normally do as well. So this is not all super heavy conversation. We are absolutely going to have fun talking about our favorite gays of media. So
yay!
So welcome to this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, episode 172.
Don't you wish romance could be so simple? Don't you wish that it would be so easy just to say hello to a pretty girl? But instead, I just stumble over my words. Oh, when you're looking for love.
Hooray!
Hey. What I did want to say, starting off the episode, I believe it's also, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it Bisexual Awareness Week as well?
I don't know. I'm always aware of being bisexual.
I meant
good
like...
Good answer.
Fair enough. But I mean, I thought, I was reading during the week at work, and I'm pretty sure that this is also like...
What is that? Does that mean just make sure you don't run over one? Like, what is it?
Like, no, it's kind of just
no,
like,
I know.
You know what that means.
Yes,
run
I know.
Me over.
Yeah, what
it means be aware what, that we exist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, be aware that it's a thing. It's not going anywhere. It's been around forever, and don't be a fucking ass about it.
It's not gay light.
Right. No, for real.
It's not gay light. Right.
Not,
how many times have you heard that word?
It's
like, you're bi. Oh, no, you're gay. Motherfucker.
No, well, bisexual is a great one. They're as cold as the Rockies. So, like, it's not.
Yeah, not gay light. That's good.
That's good. No, but that is actually a thing. Even in fighting within the community, that's a thing where even within the LGBTQ community, there is infighting about bisexuality.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like the redheaded stepchild sometimes.
Yeah.
With
it. And luckily, that's become way more of a commonality as I think people are starting to understand that sexuality is a spectrum.
It definitely is, and it always has been, and we can even talk about the film Kinsey, which is about, you know, the development of the Kinsey scale, where, like, it doesn't necessarily apply to everybody, but, you know, some people are, you know, hard 100% supposedly straight, hard 100% supposedly homosexual, and then, you know, a lot of people fall in that gray scale in the middle. I don't know exactly what number I would say I am on the Kinsey scale. I see your side eye, Theo.
Am I a bad gay because I haven't seen that movie?
No, you're fine. All right. It just means we can watch it together.
Just checking.
It's when you signed up, it didn't come in the mail. Like,
I mean, it's... Didn't have, like, a starter box? There's no starter kit?
I feel like we should have a starter kit. There's got to be, like... it's like, you know, oh my God, baby's... it's like baby's first sequins, you know? Like...
baby's first sequins. Yeah. Subscription boxes.
Here's your fan. Yeah. Like,
I'm so in for queer cinema subscription box. Like, we can start with Gods and Monsters, and we can do Kinsey, and they can get Marlene Dietrich.
So start it.
Oh!
Fucking find a way to start it.
Victoria.
It's not like there's not a need for it out there.
Victor Victoria.
Yeah.
There's horror boxes. There's every kind of fucking box. Mm-hmm. I mean,
the problem is that there's also a lot of really bad gay indie cinema.
Oh, really bad.
It's like no wonder you couldn't get funding. Am I surprised? No.
So what
I'm
is
not.
It like try to be too artsy with
yes,
it? Or?
Yeah. 100% too artsy. It's like, yes, you were already artsy because you were an indie film. And now you are trying to shove every single gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual trope ever into this one film because you know it is your last chance.
But that's indie in general. That's not just LGBTQ.
That's true. Yeah, okay. You're
although,
right.
Although, not to... Not, I want to get this out of the way early on because I do want to just have like a second of silence for Matthew Shepard and all of the queer trans lives that were lost this year to violence. If that's cool, just have a second of like observing silence. Thank you guys. I really appreciate
that. Of
course. Cause
it
definitely
happens
been
more
an
often than people seem to realize how
it's
often
been an epidemic.
Happens. Yeah.
Trans women of color are being killed. And
just based off of kind of that, not so much, you know, you're right. It goes across the spectrum who gets attacked, right? It's not like one specific part of the spectrum gets attacked. I mean, gay, bi, everyone gets attacked when they're just...
If you're perceived as other.
Exactly. So I feel like that's a good lead into, not a good lead, but it's a lead into, you know what I mean? It's a lead
Introducing
into...
Introducing the panel?
Oh, well, I was going to lead into a movie, but we can go with the panel.
Okay, let's do the panel first. Now that we're 15 minutes into the episode, let's see.
Hey, you're the host. You're supposed to regulate that shit, man.
I was not feeling like wrangling. I was enjoying the conversation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When I go to enjoy it, he fucking shuts me off. See how that works?
First timer on Geeks Under the Influence here to talk all things LGBTQ in cinema. We got Theo here.
Hello. Teddy.
You want to go? Dude, Teddy. Yeah. Like, I never hear anybody besides me call you Theo anymore.
No, plenty of people call me Theo. Okay. It's just, you know, I'm Teddy to my friends.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So, yeah.
I appreciate you coming out to talk. And next to Teddy is the metal burlesquer herself. Or themselves.
Themselves,
sorry.
That's right. Now y'all know.
Don't get it twisted.
You are going to a big burlesque thing in the near future, right?
Yes. In like literally it'll be 2 weeks from yesterday will be the night that I'm performing, or on October 3rd, I will be making my Portland, Oregon debut at the Metalesque Festival, and I'm freaking the fuck out.
Oh, yeah,
I'm so excited.
That's awesome as shit. I'm super excited. We've got Murphy Lawless here.
There.
Yeah. I was getting to it.
I don't have to say my own name. Where I am.
Say my name.
Like, no, do you know who I am? No, do you? Because you haven't announced me yet. Can you please like say my name, please?
Also pretty sure I said that backwards. Thanks, Bleach from work.
Then next to me, my right-hand man on my left, my partner in crime for Geeks Under the Influence, and showrunner for the newest show on the network, From the Mouths of Madness, we've got Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, guys? I also do GUI nights.
Yes,
if we ever do
GUI
another
nights.
Episode of
if
that.
If we which... ever do that again, we've been so busy.
And we have. It'll happen, though. Okay. We're going to go from the Murphy there to do another one.
Nights are so much fun.
They are.
They get so fucking buck wild.
They are. But yeah, what's up, everybody? I'm really stoked to talk about this. It's an episode that needs to happen, really, because it's a thing. It's an important thing.
Well, this has been part of conversation.
Both pro and con for it. Like, the cons need to be brought up, like, hey, fuckers. And the pros of how it's done well. Like, here's example A, here's example B. Go with example A, fuck off with example B.
Thank you.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
The fuck off with example B that I can think of right off the bat is In Living Color, the hated it.
Hold on. Before we go wrangling on that.
Okay.
All right. We got to talk about the man who's hosting this shit show. And has been for almost 5 fucking years. We're going on 4.5.
Yeah.
We're at 4.5 in like...
God, has it really been that long?
Yeah.
Month. In a month, it'll be 4.5. Yeah. October or November? Yeah.
Something like that.
So we got Mike Thomas Bigot to my right.
Hello.
Also the host of Smack My Pitch Up and Booze Clues Live. And yeah.
And all sorts of other stuff. I run Trivia in Town.
Yeah. Unless you struck yourself on that.
Yeah. All sorts of live events that we have in town. We've got some other things kind of cooking right now that hopefully we'll be able to announce in the not too distant future.
God damn.
Yeah.
Can we fit any more on the calendar?
Well, these are less like weekly stuff and more occasional stuff that we're talking
Fair
about.
Fair enough.
So, no, the calendar has gotten stupid. Like, we have a calendar that all the showrunners share to put up our stuff, and it's gotten where there's like, there's a day next month on a Tuesday. It's just gotten ridiculous.
But in fairness, I feel like, honestly, we're like the only two that all the time utilize that. We're the only ones that utilize that on a regular basis.
That's true. That's true.
And it still looks full. If all the podcasts did it, I wouldn't be able to see my shit on my calendar. Like, personal shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Because it's just gotten beyond ridiculous at this point.
Yeah. But back to what I was getting at to before we introduced the panel was, I think that's a good lead into a movie that really showed that hate. And it took me actually a second, third viewing to really see the true story of it. And that was Brokeback Mountain, right? Because Jake Gyllenhaal's character gets pretty much beaten and stoned to death at the end of it.
Yeah.
So that goes right along with the hate that goes with that, right?
Yeah.
You know, but also showing the love story and how was that portrayed? As for me, I'm assuming it just looked like a normal relationship because that's what I look at it as, is a normal, it's a fucking relationship, right? That's all it is, right? It's just two dudes, not a dude and a guy. It was two dudes that had a relationship. Okay, right? Now, do you agree with how they were put in a particular circumstance for that to happen? Isolation kind of thing? How do you feel about that? That's really what I want to know.
I didn't enjoy Brokeback Mountain, this movie.
Okay.
I just did not. It was boring.
Oh, really?
It wasn't the way it was portrayed. It was boring.
It was boring because, honestly, like, to me, the fact that they were gay didn't automatically mean that I was going to like it. It's just like, you know, like,
no, of course
not. Like, I don't like everybody who's gay, you know, that just because we have that in common that's the only thing we have in common.
It's like, I don't like all podcasters.
You don't like all hobbits either.
Not all hobbits either.
Yeah.
But the, like, short fuckers are the ones you got to worry about. Like,
I mean, but for me, it was like, it was, again, like a lot of what movies at the time did, and even to a certain extent now still do, is that they don't actually show very much physical affection between gay people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was like the hand holding and there was a kiss or two, but that's it.
I hadn't really considered that with Brokeback Mountain because I did enjoy that movie, but they have a lot of where they're standing at a distance yelling at each other about being gay.
Yep.
That's a lot of the...
Yep.
That's a lot of being gay. Yeah. Standing at a distance yelling at each other about being gay.
I mean,
gay.
That's true.
Well, conversely to that, two films that I want to mention that had really wonderful sex scenes that were also very touching movies in very different ways, because one was a lot more serious and the other one was definitely more of a comedy but with a message I enjoyed. The more serious one was Latter Days, which is about a young man who realizes he's gay in the Mormon church and falls in love with a very, very out gay person, and then like they have a relationship and have a really, really romantic evening, and then in the morning he wakes up and he's gone back and he goes through conversion therapy and all of that horribleness through the Mormon church in the film, and then they're reunited. But it's intense.
I stopped watching that one because of it.
I'm glad more states are making that outlawed, because that's horrifying.
Yes, and it needs to be. It shouldn't even be a fucking question. But the other movie that is one of my favorite queer films is But I'm a Cheerleader.
Love it so much.
I love that fucking film. I love the lesbian sex scene in it. It's tender and wonderful, and
I love Natasha
like,
Lyonne
sweet.
Anyway. So. She's the best.
And Clea DuVall.
Yes.
And Clea. Yeah, let's not forget Clea.
Yeah, let's not forget her, okay?
Clea and her, like, grunge girl attitude. Ugh. Sorry.
I don't even care about anything. I'm Clea DuVall.
Yeah.
Like, that was her whole career.
It's true.
I'm going to smoke this cigarette, and then I'm going to wreck your life.
That's actually a pretty good Clea DuVall
impression. That was.
That was
pretty
there.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean, But I'm a Cheerleader was pretty much, like, the first, like, gay movie I watched, like, intentionally knowing I was gay. So it was, to me, it was like a big. It was a big deal.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It was a huge deal.
Oh yeah. No, it was definitely a movie that like I watched and was definitely, it was one of those movies that like, you know, I don't want to say gives you, well, I do want to say it actually, like, gives you permission to be yourself, where it's just like,
yeah,
cool. I'm not alone. Other people are stoked about this. This isn't weird. This isn't a fad. This isn't a phase. I'm excited to be gay. Look, she's being a cheerleader for that lady, and I want to be a cheerleader for a lady.
When I think the tone that was used in But I'm a Cheerleader was kind of perfect for that conversation, mm-hmm. where it had that hyper-reality version of things happening, where it was like a mixture of, like, Edward Scissorhands, 1950s kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
But with this, like, demented kind of underlying storyline happening while everybody's smiling and being,
oh yeah,
super chipper and weird. And oh, it yeah. allowed to play with how horrible conversion therapy is.
Oh, God, yeah.
Without it coming off as, like, just soul-crushing. You were able to really enjoy this fun movie about conversion therapy. I mean,
and escaping from
and
it
escaping
to be who you are.
Mainly
yeah.
that, yeah.
Well, but I mean, it did bring up the very real thing that happens with things like conversion therapy camps, is that kids escape and their families don't want them, and they're, you know, hopefully, you know, a awesome gay, you know, there's an awesome gay like halfway house
yeah.
to help them, but that's a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. It really is.
A movie that I kind of wanted to bring up just to see if its approach is, because it comes off as a light comedy, but there are some moments in it that I am curious as to whether or not that is, I wouldn't say fully irresponsible, but the setup for it, In and Out with Kevin Kline, where basically he's a school teacher, he's happily married. Matt Dillon plays a kid that was in his acting class that becomes this like award winning actor. And he played a gay character that won him the award. And he said that he took a lot of notes from his gay teacher, who was played by Kevin Kline. Although Kevin Kline's like, that's fucking news to me. he's like, he was engaged, I think. He's like, I'm engaged.
He was gonna, I literally like just watched this last month for first time. So nice. Like,
so you got it fresh on the brain.
Yeah.
But the thing is, now everybody thinks that he like is like, oh, you're gay. And he's like, I'm not. But then it becomes clear that he's lying to himself more than anything else. And because that is also going into like, you know, outing someone. And that's not really okay. Now, the end result in the movie, remembering it's a movie, is that he learns to accept himself. And then he falls in love with, I think, Tom Selleck, who's like a reporter that comes to the town. And everybody's happily ever after, and it's fine. And I think, yeah, Matt Dillon ends up, like, going after the chick that he was engaged to in the first. It's a whole thing. But just the setup of somebody else, like, being, no, you're gay. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are, is a little iffy on there. But it was done in a very light, fun way.
Well, so there was one time where a friend came out to me, and she sat me down. She said, Murph, I got to tell you something. I said, okay. And she goes, I'm gay. And I said, yeah, I know. What did you want to talk to me about?
Dude, same fucking thing. I had a friend all through high school.
Took all the wind out of your sails.
Yeah, right? I had a friend through high school. And I mean, like, he was like 2 years ahead of me. And then he graduated, but we still hung out outside of school and parties and whatnot. Like, I always knew him. And then, like, I don't know if it was the official or if it had already been done. Then he decided to just talk to me about it. But it was at an event, like, after I graduated. So that was like 3 years after he'd been out of high school, and he came and he was like, you know, said, hey, you know, I'm gay. And I'm like, yeah, can we get back to the video game? Like, it was just kind of like, yeah, dude, like, duh. Like, I know.
Like, I feel like you need to give like, a little bit more than that, not because
you
didn't
do.
Hear it all.
Yeah, you do.
You got to be like, congratulations.
Yeah, I didn't just say that, but also, but in my head, it was like, duh. Yeah, dude, totally.
Yeah, you're
cool.
My bro. I know.
Yeah.
Like, fine.
But afterwards, I'm like, okay, so this, you're actually coming out, and I'm really excited for you to recognize this and to be out. This is awesome.
Because it is important to celebrate those big moments with your friends.
No, it is, because it still took courage to them, because they didn't essentially know you knew, so it still took a lot to tell some you know, somebody they care about, like, hey, boom, this is
it's,
it.
It's,
so
it's
I didn't
lot.
Just say that, but in my head it was kind of like, yeah, okay, duh, I knew that, but you're right. I didn't just say that. I went and got him a beer, and we chugged, and it was all good.
Cheers to being gay!
Seriously. I mean, In-N-Out was a lovely, fun movie. In reality, the teacher would have 100% been fired from his job.
Oh, sure.
And would have been run out of town on a rail, which sucks. But people, because, you know, even now, LGBTQ people are not a protected class.
Mm-hmm.
So we can 100% be fired for being trans and gay unless the company itself has a policy.
When you hear that from like public schools and stuff where parents will come out, I don't want a gay person teaching my kid to be gay and stuff like that. I mean, it's purely, clearly ignorant bullshit. But
yeah.
Isn't that state by state?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's state by state, but also sometimes it could even be city by city.
Yeah.
I thought some states had protection.
Some
written,
states
laws written.
Some states constitutions do.
If it's a state law, though,
it doesn't matter.
It is, but do you know how many people break state laws because they don't like state laws?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's really, really hard to prove that they fired you because you were you know, gay. Because I mean, I've tried to file an Equal Employment Opportunity Commission report before, and it's one of the things that they ask you to prove that it was because you were gay was...
How do you fucking prove that?
Exactly. That's how do you prove that? And one of the things they ask you is, has somebody else in your situation done the same thing and not been fired for it? And you're like, how am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like confidential information, technically.
Yeah, right? And exactly.
That the fucked up thing, too, is being in the state of Virginia, it's a right-to-work state. So
they can fire you for anything they want.
Anything. Yep. Like you,
and they do.
It, mm-hmm. Hey, it's Tuesday. You're fired.
I mean, that's the right to work. I mean, that's what it means. Like, they don't have to technically give you a reason for why you're fucking fired.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Now, we are getting close to the break here. So I do want to kind of hit on something before we get into the break, is that there are some major moments in TV and film that were kind of breakthrough moments for the community, whether it be, like, one of the big ones that I remember when I was younger was when there was a lesbian kiss on Roseanne, which I kind of find funny now considering where Roseanne has gone with things, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, what, Sandra Bernhardt, I think? And I want to say it was, like, Roseanne's sister, or maybe it was Roseanne, I don't remember, but... There was like the first on-screen like lesbian kiss, and it was this big hoopla, this huge thing. And whereas now, like, that's not an event at all, for the most part. I mean,
as it should be.
Yeah, as it should be. But that was kind of a huge deal, and that was just in the 90s. I mean, we're not talking ancient history.
Yeah,
I love how in the evolution of that in shows, though, it's there's some shows that have done a service to where like it just shows that this is what it is, and it's not like the main focus of the show. Like I just started watching the newest season because it just hit Netflix. The new season actually airs, I think, next month, as far as live broadcasting. Shameless, and you've got the one of the brothers, Ian, and one of the neighborhood kids, Mick. They're both gay, and like they become a thing, and they're like a couple, but like. In the show, none of the community gives a flying fuck. I mean, it's they're poor. They're more worried about like paying my rent, making sure we have food, you know, and a roof over our fucking head. Because you know the important thing is not the fact that the dude down the street is gay. Like that's not affecting your fucking livelihood.
Oh, cool. Are you gonna move out? Because that would be financially way better for me.
Exactly. Yeah. Like what the fuck? So they do a really good job of showing how like that's not what that how is that fucking with you? These guys are still struggling to survive, and they happen to find comfort in something that you don't agree with. Like, all right, fuck you. Like,
so I don't care if you agree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, and in the show, they don't. Like, they show, like, you know, they grew up in the hood in Chicago is where the show's set in. So, like, they fight. Like, they will fucking, and there's even so where they fight each other because they two aggressive personalities and they beat the fuck out of each other and they go have makeup sex. And it's like, it's just, you know, and like
that sounds like a super super healthy relationship.
It does,
there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, dude, I mean, like, again, no one in that show is healthy. Like, not a single fucking character in that show.
That
is healthy.
A good thing is that, you know, it's so delicate to have, you know, especially people that aren't represented regularly on film and television, that there's representation, and you want to make sure that it's like not a villain or like a portrayal.
No, it's normal life. It's like normal life.
If you get to a certain point where it's like you can have some of that too, because everybody's just fucking people, good and bad, you know.
Right.
And so when you can have good showing of like good characters of a different like minority or background or whatever it is, and then really big pieces of shit as well, like that.
Yeah.
That just feels like life a little bit more.
Oh, it totally is. But I was also gonna be like, dude, have you ever seen drag queens fight? Like, of course they fucking God. Fight. Holy shit, that's amazing. Like, they're better
really,
than boxers.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it really is. And they will, like, they will just, like, stab a bitch's eyes out.
And then insult you while you're laying there
bleeding. Yeah, exactly. It's impressive.
And actually, this most recent, season before last, he's become, like, a figure in the community. Like, where he's just telling everyone to fuck off. Like, you know, God loves you no matter if you're gay or not. Because he heard of conversion meetings that were happening where parents were sending their gay kids to... Mm-hmm. Realized they were not gay, they were just confused and sinning and living in sin. And he was like, when he broke into one, was like, fuck you, my God's queer, my God's a junkie, my God's fucking everything that you say is fucking wrong. People, you know, he's mm-hmm. like, my God is not differentiating between who you want to have sex with, basically, right. is what he came out with. And he started a movement in the community. And I'm like, damn, this show's gotten like, all right, like, you know.
Also, there's the classic moment of big moments in television, Ellen. Of her coming out that unfortunately made her lose her show. Like, the ratings tanked, and I think the network, like, kicked her off, or there was a whole thing around her coming out, her character coming out as gay on the show, which I thought was really cool to see a character.
What show was she on?
Ellen.
I think. Wait, it was just called... she still has an Ellen show.
It's just the Ellen DeGeneres show now.
Yeah,
now,
it was Ellen. Now it's Ellen DeGeneres show. Yeah.
But Ellen was where she was, you know, playing a character of a version of herself. And you saw the progression of her realizing, maybe I do like girls. And then, you know, actually getting into somebody. And then the woman that she was getting into being like, you know, we're not like going to get married and stuff. Like, I think it's like, I like you too, but like, chill, you know, you're allowed to, you know,
that's fair.
Come to terms with this and like, be with me or not be with me. It's cool. And it was like a really cool, respectful approach to it. And then they were like, oh, well, gay now, so no, we got to dump this and dump the show. But it was an immensely important moment. And now she's got the biggest daytime talk show on television.
Right, which is wonderful. And then, like, there's a part of me that, going back to the music for a second, that it's also just been, like, the difference between Ellen coming out and everyone being like, oh, my God, and you're like, fucking really? To people like OTEP and Angela Gossow, formerly of Arch Enemy, just kicking open the door and being like, we're fucking lesbians. And you're like, yeah, you fucking are, you beautiful bitch. Keep screaming.
I had no idea. Like, that's news to me.
That OTEP two. And Angela Gossow. Well, now you know. Maybe it's just that I'm just like, these beautiful women that I've been crushing on could be crushing on me. Oh my God, I gotta look super butch at the next show.
Seriously? That's like how I felt when I found out that Angelina Jolie was bisexual. I was like, you mean there's a chance?
Yeah. Right.
No, I mean, I guess for me, it's just like, I'd like their music either way, so it doesn't matter.
Right, but it's super cool. So I think that because I'm a femme-presenting person that's super into metal, when I, like, women in metal is a minority. Yeah. Like, we
slowly
are
not,
out there.
Slowly not, which makes me really
fucking
awesome.
Happy.
Yeah.
But
some badass bitches in metal, too. Like, these women are fucking awesome. Like,
they're
killing
it. Yeah. Woo. And I support them 100%, but finding out that not only, like, is a super visible, popular, aggressive, talented metal singer female, but they are also queer and vocally and aggressively queer, I'm just like, what did you just
more
just
like
two
there?
More check I say two more check marks right?
Leave me you know what, let me just send my little heart
also,
eyes through the internet.
Why is there not a hardcore band called Aggressively Queer? Like,
there
that would be a great
is.
Name
there should, there
they
should
had
be.
They had that what is it the Negro punk band. It was all black people.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, wouldn't that be the equivalent for a hardcore
we
band?
We are aggressively queer and we're here to make out with whoever we want to. Like, I don't know how you would start.
I mean, we had Vaginal Cream Davis, which is sort of...
The fuck?
I'm sorry, what?
What the hell?
That's a whole other discussion. Vaginal Cream Davis is a singer and artist, and they are pretty fucking incredible.
And there's also Pansy Division.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I mean, Divine as a performer, I think, was also
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But even in the mainstream, as far as music goes, I believe Lizzie Hale came out a while ago that she was bi.
Ooh, really? Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Sorry.
You're like, I mean, okay, put that in my back pocket.
Yeah, because now it's like, look, we can both go to a show and be like, ooh, yeah, I want to do things to her. And, like, you know, it's cool.
Well, right? That's like,
she knows she's down for that.
Basically, I'm just going to be leapfrogging over you. Yeah. It's like, yep,
like,
crowd
out
surfing.
The way.
I went to a Pride Fest in like 98 or 99 in San Diego that Joan Jett was performing at. And I've been a Joan Jett fan since I was like a wee little one. And I know she's gay. Like, I'm still just like, you're gorgeous. I know I have no chance.
Yeah, you're still really fun to look at.
Yeah, just, you're pretty, and I respect you as a person.
One of my like sad things about like transitioning was I was like, the lesbians don't like me anymore. Aww.
That's not true. there's some spectrum here happening.
I mean, there is a spectrum. But you know, it was one of those things.
Yeah, I got you. But and what I loved about seeing Joan Jett is that there were like full on like the stereotype like lesbians with like straight up the cut off like flannel shirts level that were being like, oh my God, Joan Jett. I'm like, I know, right? And there was no moment where just like, you're not allowed to like her. I was like, yeah, I know. Like, everybody was just like losing their minds over Joan Jett.
She can still put on a really good show.
Oh. And she still looks
really
amazing
yes.
for her.
Her voice hasn't gone to shit.
No, it hasn't. Okay. Because I saw her last year in Virginia Beach and it was still really good.
I didn't know. I think it was.
And Heart as well. Also really good.
I remember that show.
I put it together.
Did
nice.
You?
Yeah.
Nice. Was it like 2 years ago or 3 years ago? I saw a video, a live performance of her, and I was like, okay. I mean, as far as looks, like, you know, certain songs she does, you really can't tell the vocal prowess because they don't really require a lot. Like,
yeah,
certain
they really
Joan Jett
don't.
Songs don't require a lot.
Yeah.
There's certain ones that do. And the song I saw did not really require a lot. And I think it was Light of Day. Yeah, that they played Light of Day.
Which I have that movie. That is
Michael J. Fox, the forgotten little Michael J. Fox Joan Jett
movie. Was
that
Michael J. Fox or
it was Michael J. Fox?
It was Michael J.
Fox.
It
was Michael J.
Right.
Fox.
Yeah.
I know I'm right.
Where Joan Jett ends up getting into a metal band and she's wearing like bondage gear and shit.
Yeah.
It's,
giggity.
It's a whole situation. I have it. So one night,
you can watch
Murphy,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, your wide eyed self can come over here and watch Joan Jett.
Yeah,
acting with Michael J. Fox.
That
siblings.
Is like a hidden gem movie of theirs, though.
Really
both of
is.
Them. It really
yeah.
is.
What
like
is
just
this movie
kind of
called?
It's called
Light of
Day.
Oh, okay.
That's the song Light of Day that was pretty popular. Joan Jett song was the title theme of that movie, and everybody knows the song.
Nobody
not
knows
a lot
the
of people
movie.
Knows the movie. So
I am really thrilled that this episode is giving me one whole new things to Google when I'm home alone.
Yeah.
or home with my partner because he's chill. But also like it's nice to have that like these like queer affirmation moments with my friends just to be like, we're all enjoying the queerness together and I love this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just great.
And on that note, we're going to take a short break so we can talk about some stuff happening in town. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what we're drinking. And maybe do a drunken scene or two. So stick around. We'll be right back. This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout. We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things LGBTQ plus characters in film and media. We're talking comic books, literature, movies, film, all the stuff. But before we get into that, we got to talk about our sponsors, the ones that help us get some ducats so we can pay for the storage fees, for equipment, for, well, booze, for all the stuff, maybe a few extra bucks here and there. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. If you are interested in any of the films or TV shows that we talked about on this episode, the best way to do that is to go through the link at gypodcast.com that says Shop Amazon. It's in the upper right-hand corner of our homepage. Go through that link and then shop till your heart's content on Amazon for some of the iconic film roles and TV roles of some of our favorite characters that we've talked about this evening. And just by going through the link first, we get credit for any of your purchases, so you're not spending any more on anything, but we get credit and we get money just for you shopping the way you normally were anyway. And next up, of course, is TeePublic.
Yeah.
The TeePublic.
TeePublic's the shit.
The newest design we have on the site is not the Ouija board. Ha ha!
Fuck you and your Jay Baruchel bullshit. I'm calling the Ouija board, guys.
Yay. It's the first GY episode since I did the J.A. Baruchel shirt.
All right.
I have to brag about it.
Don't encourage it. Don't.
It is technically a Halloween season shirt because it is based on a design from Monster Squad. There's a shirt from that movie that says Stephen King rules. It's a red shirt with yellow lettering, a pretty basic design. And I took that design and made it more GUI. And by GUI, I mean literally just my personal taste that everybody else hates. Jay Baruchel rules is the shirt. And you can own it just by going through our page, gypodcast.com/store, click on the link to our TeePublic page, and there it'll be in all its glory, this beautiful bright red shirt with yellow lettering that tells the world that you also appreciate the world's greatest actor, Jay Baruchel.
But with all the other designs, why would you want to buy that one?
We do have, I think, 27 other designs to choose.
So why would you? Why would you want to buy that one? Well, like, I'd rather have Scott Screaming Kid on me than fucking Jay Baruchel rules. Okay.
Well, you can always get a Jay Baruchel button because those are options now. Or
anything with him on me will not happen.
Well, then, if you are a
that's
person
what she
with
said.
With terrible taste in actors, but still decent taste. Then go check out our Ouija board shirt, which is our Halloween season addition to the GUI page.
Then you get our faces.
Ouija board with both Lowdown and Mayan's face on it. And it says Geeks Under the Influence for the letters R. It's a really cool design. It's super fun. We've actually sold a decent amount of those shirts. That's been a very popular design.
That's horrifying.
It's pretty rad.
It's a
though.
Really cool looking shirt.
It is cool.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
They also have a Cthulhu based shirt that I found last year. And yep. I'm still really excited.
Well, that shirt
about
was
it.
So popular last year that we kept it on year round because I was selling really well. I didn't want to be like, nope, you don't get it till next Halloween. Everybody loves that design. So we have the Cthulhu. We brought back out the Elm Street Ale shirt. Yes. We brought back out the Alka Halloween shirt. That's back out on the store as well. So we have plenty of Halloween designs, and it's early enough that you can get that and rock it all October.
Yeah.
So go to the TeePublic page by going to GUIPodcast.com/store, and it'll send you right to the TeePublic page with all our stuff.
I'm going to need y'all to get on top of making like a Hellraiser GUI shirt, because that's what I need in my life. Because I have a Hellraiser cat shirt. Now I need a Hellraiser GUI shirt.
I can work on that.
Thank you.
I actually have a couple ideas already off the bat. All right, cool. Yeah, I will work on that. I'll try to get a Hellraiser out this year.
Good.
I still need to see Hellraiser.
Hellraiser. We're going to have
never
that.
Never seen Hellraiser?
No.
Oh, he and I are going to have that experience together because that's my joy.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Speaking of joys, the next...
That hurts my soul.
The next segment of this show is a personal joy of mine. It's talking about what lubricates this show, helps us get along and get into the conversation, and gets the second half off the rails. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
We're drinking. We're getting drunk.
You kept that. Nice.
I kept that.
Nice.
That's Bo from A Veil.
Fucking drinking.
I remember.
Yeah.
Fucking
shortly after he went, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. He was not a. He was
not into it. He's like, is that banjo? So we've got a few choices here this evening. The first one that we're doing, we poured very lightly.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Murphy, what smell are we, it. What are we well, sipping on here?
So,
this is pungent.
We just had to know. Teddy
We'd
and I.
We just have to know.
Literally. Because Teddy and I were looking at beverage options.
I smelled it again. Why did I smell it again?
I don't know, but let me. Oh, my God.
Ugh.
This is a delightful moment of me witnessing
really
them.
I will say, it's easier than the other one.
So,
it's easier than the other one.
The one that we are currently splitting is a malt beverage called Hemp Tales, made with real hemp seeds, and it is called Passion Fruit Express.
It's better than the OG.
Oh my gosh!
I tried the OG one, and I could not drink it until I mixed it half and half with PBR.
It's better
than
the OG.
And then it smelled like a fan apartment.
It's
so...
not as sweet.
Oh.
It's not as sweet.
Oh, that's not right. good. That's super not good.
I'm going to...
It's really not
take
good.
Take this dive.
It's like Robitussin mixed with weed, bong water, kind of.
Ew, no!
That's what you give to somebody you hate.
Murphy right now looks like a dog that has had peanut butter just licking the roof of their mouth.
This is
like,
Whatever you do, anybody listening, don't even out of morbid curiosity.
Oh, wow.
Get
this smells worse than the other one, though.
It's terrible.
It's better than the other one. The other one was horrid.
It smells worse, though.
Oh, my God.
It does taste better.
Yeah.
You are correct.
It's not great. At all, but it tastes better than the other one.
That is a crime.
Oh God! My face hurts.
I don't. This swears. It is a premium malt beverage.
Is that because it's 8%?
It is 8%.
Anytime you see malt, you know.
Look, we just had to know.
I don't.
it was an experiment, and sometimes experiments fail.
Oh,
yeah. This is one of those moments.
This is one of those experiments where they slaughtered those guinea pigs.
Look, we knew this experiment was going to go down like a lead balloon. Thank you.
This is actually
Krella.
Worse than what was don't one of my hit, least favorite. Was it the Voodoo Donut beer or whatever? The
oh,
pink bottle
God.
One?
No, there's the one I brought that was the
Rogue.
Habanero.
Rogue.
Yeah. It was the Habanero one.
Oh, the Habanero one was real bad,
it was really fucking bad.
Oh,
was,
I like Habanero.
No,
I like spicy beers.
They didn't do it very well, though. It was not good.
Did it just taste like a green pepper?
It was like mango habanero.
Ew, mango
something.
Yeah.
It was syrupy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Your Rogue does that a lot.
Yeah.
It's real sad.
This wasn't Rogue. This is a random one I found on Once Upon a Vine. I forget what the fucking beer was, but it was gross.
There was also that like super mapley thing that we drank. That we
were all just like gasping and sortilege.
That's right.
Let us never forget sortilege.
I almost thought about naming the GUI night sortilege because we bring it up time. Sortilege.
I'm gonna make a spray.
Hunter still has the bottle. It's at the same level. I'm like, why do you just fucking throw it out? Why the fuck do you have that?
He's waiting to torture someone else with it. This is how our friends
were. Waiting to pour it on.
We kept drinking it though. How alcoholic are we? Jesus Christ!
Apparently, not enough to drink the rest of that.
No,
water,
no.
But
that monstrosity.
But the other share we have cleanse our palates, we're going to go with a little East Coast local, bitches, because that's where you got to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Got to keep it local. A little Hardywood Tropic Like It's Hot.
Yeah.
It is a sour ale with passion fruit, pineapple, and dragon fruit. 6.0% ABV.
A tasty beverage.
It's delicious.
I think we've had on the show before too.
We had it back in June when the last release was for Pride Month.
Yeah.
This is their Pride beer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really cool. And basically Richmond Pride is next week on the 28th, and I will get myself drunk on this.
Nice.
And it's fantastic.
There's some left.
Oh yeah, they save it for Pride.
Oh, they do?
They have it they have it like from the tap in the beer truck.
Yeah, that would suck if they were like, yeah, by the way, we made this for Pride and sorry.
JK.
everyone
all
likes
out.
It. They bought it out. You know, it's sold out.
Yeah.
You have to go with our homophobic beer instead. Like that's the only one we have left is
Oh god.
Look, I'm not drinking Yingling, okay?
Hey,
dad is
easy.
Look, I just moved in with my dad and he drinks Yingling and it just makes me sad.
Oh.
Dude, have you heard anything about that
brewery?
I just drink the fucking beer.
They donate to some stuff that's not.
I don't look into every fucking thing I buy to see what they donate into. No, I do not.
And now I've ruined it for you.
I mean,
enjoy.
But I literally don't research everything I buy because sometimes I want to go fucking buy things without having to research what they put their money into.
Anything by Constellation Brands, Ballast Point.
I don't drink a lot of Ballast Point.
Me either, but you know.
I don't.
I don't remember the last time.
People have told me
to
try them, and I've tried them, and I'm like, nah, I don't like Ballast Point pretty much.
It's too bad because Ballast Point literally has made one of my favorite beers that I've ever had. It was they had this wheat ale like they called Wahoo, and then they made a Thai chili Wahoo, and that shit was spicy. Like it hurt. It was so good, and it hurt my stomach, and I drank so much of it. Seriously, because one of the only places on the East Coast that got it was the Short Pump Growlers to Go. And they had like a sixtal of it or something like that, and I drank half that cake.
God damn,
like it made it, oh god, I loved it. It was so good.
Right, now we got to our next part of this little thing, a time that we have just to make sure that we sound like idiots for sure on every episode. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
We've got two movies. I was trying to find a spot that we could do four different parts, and I was just not finding one that was reasonable for this that we could do.
But you know you're totally Jack, right?
That's fine.
I'm just saying.
That's fine.
You're totally Jack.
Okay.
I love you guys.
Just let them.
The first one that
sure
we're doing.
He's aware.
For all of our fans are going to appreciate this. Lowdown and I are doing Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are. So see, everyone comment about how I'm right that he's Jack. Thank you.
Yeah, he is.
Uh-huh. See?
That's what we need to make a t-shirt to say I'm a Jack and I'm an Enos.
Oh, dude, can we totally just mock
our faces?
Can we mock the cover and just switch the faces?
My God.
I'll see what
I would wear that so hard.
I don't need any more t-shirts.
We need all the t-shirts.
Oh, I need you, actually, what I need you guys to do is break into button-down work shirts with the stuff on
that's
the back.
That's a T-Public thing, though.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what they...
T-Public, are you listening?
We're limited to what they promote, and they don't promote those yet. But they have a lot of other stuff, you know, all kinds of long sleeve shirts, hoodies, light hoodies, heavy hoodies. Fucking.
I need a button up because I'm fucking fancy.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yes.
Fancy. But
work shirts are fancy.
That too.
The Dickies work shirt has now become fancy.
What's fancier than I normally dress?
Like Iggy Fair Azalea.
Enough. Fair enough.
I'm so fancy.
Thank you.
No.
No. I'm not. I'm not.
You're not.
I hate
That's
pop
okay.
culture.
All right. So
he said on his pop culture.
Yeah,
show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can we talk about Iggy Azalea? No, we don't. That I hate
now
that pop
are.
Culture.
Now
we are talking about Brokeback Mountain from 2005. So we've got Enos and Jack. So I'll be playing Jack, and Mr. Lowdown will be playing Enos. And that first one is you.
I also want to kind of go OG with this. You ever get the feeling, I don't know, where when you're in town and someone looks at you suspicious, like he knows? And you go out on the pavement and everyone's looking at you like they all know too?
Well, maybe you ought to get out of there, you know? Find yourself somewhere different. Maybe, Texas?
Texas? Sure. Maybe you can convince Alma to let you and Lorraine adopt the girls. And we can just live together herding sheep. And it'll rain money from L.D. Newsom and whiskey will flow in the streams.
Mm.
Jack. That's real smart. Real smart.
Go to hell, Enos Del Mar. You want to live your miserable fucking life, then go right ahead.
Fine.
I was just thinking out loud.
Yep. You're a real thinker there. Goddamn, Jack fucking Twist. Got all it figured out, ain't you?
You were like slowly going into Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
I was trying to avoid that.
The Ballad of Cookie Monster and Buster Scruggs.
Yeah, right.
It was. Why am I still drinking this?
You like it because you like it.
It's my secret.
Because you like it.
So the next scene that we've got is from a film from 1999 that we talked about a little bit on the show already. We're talking about But I'm a Cheerleader. Great little film. This is between Megan and Mary are the two characters here.
Can I be Megan?
Yes.
So Murphy will be
I feel
be
like
Megan.
You'll scream that better than I would.
And okay. Teddy will be Mary.
Doing a voice. All right.
So it starts off with Megan.
I'm a homosexual!
Wow.
I was not expecting that.
Holy shit.
I'm a homosexual! I'm a homosexual! I'm a homosexual! Oh my God! They were right. I'm a homo.
Congratulations, Megan. You have just taken your first step in your true direction.
Group therapy applauds and then embraces her.
Okay. Don't go on. Don't worry, Megan. It's gonna be okay. Here. Put these on.
Oh my God, they were right. I'm homo. Oh my God.
I don't know. That was wow. I don't know what I was expecting from you, but I was not expecting metal homosexual. Like,
that was amazing.
No, that was perfect.
Oh, that was so good.
That was everything I didn't know I wanted. You made Lowdown like cry over there.
You were like, fuck it, 2K polish, shiny and chrome. No,
I think the best part was that was the most seamless between the two characters we've had on this fucking segment. The way like she kept crying and you reacted versus us, we would just like cry once, like, and then like we would let the other person talk.
I mean, we've known each other for a really long time.
That's
a
method podcast.
Like, that was a fucking method podcast. That was method. Awesome. Oh,
like fucking Brando over here.
Seriously. I could have been a contender. Yeah.
That's right.
I could have been a homosexual.
We make that the title. That's fine.
I could have been a homosexual.
I could have
been
a homosexual.
Okay. All right, so we were talking before we did this episode about there are characters out there that are kind of adopted by the gay community that aren't necessarily openly gay characters. They might be possibly gay or definitely not, but are kind of seen as, you know, champions of, I'm talking like Bert and Ernie type things.
Mm. Yeah.
Or, you know, a lot of like best friend duos in movies and TV shows tend to have that kind of tone. Like Scrubs has a little bit of that. And
yeah.
Scrubs has a lot of that, except they had a song called Guy Love.
It's Guy Love.
It's a bromance.
It's a bromance.
Bromances aren't necessarily gay.
No, they're not.
And I think bromances are beautiful things, but both, you know, on wherever they fall on that spectrum. But I know that they're just best friends and it makes me really happy. But Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, particularly in Hot Fuzz, just, I want that love to be recognized and true.
But speaking of recognized, they recognize that there's some like borderline romantic inflection with these characters, especially in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh yeah,
where he's not my boyfriend. And it's like this is a little warm. You know, the refrigeration went out. And it's like thanks, babe, and they wink. You know, and it's clearly they're playing with it. They're not offended by that being seen as like almost borderline romantic. They're like, I mean,
this is romantic. We're here for each other.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. Yeah, it wouldn't be. Like the worst thing that it's just not actually attracted to each other. It's,
I mean, we can also talk about like things like Aziraphale and Crowley.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that
yes.
nobody ever says that they're gay for each other, but those people,
and that's more I'm talking about the ambiguous nature of some of these friendships.
I don't care what anybody says, those two are in a queer relationship, whatever gender they happen to be at the time.
We're talking about the show Good Omens,
yes,
the
yes.
book as well.
My deepest
Primarily
love,
the show, though.
My deepest love. I mean, for real, can I tempt you to a bit of lunch?
Yeah, exactly.
Temptation accomplished. Like, nobody can see the sassy shoulders that I did with that.
They were very sassy.
You were just mimicking, you know, Tennant's sassy that he had the entire time.
Oh, that was
time.
Michael Sheen. Oh, Tennant was full blown like slouchy demon like schmooze.
Oh yeah,
there's
he was
so
like,
much shoulder
we're
action
talking,
going
we're
on
talking
here.
Shoulder
like,
action and like libido thrust.
That,
yeah,
running that borderline though of like gay or British. Like there is that like
no,
running thing of
no that was gay.
That was yeah.
Look, my mom is British. That was gay.
God damn it. But you're right. That was Sheen, though. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. He was like, well, so we haven't had lunch for a while. I was like, yeah, it was crepes and whatever. Yeah. France?
Oh, yeah.
Michael crepes. Sheen does crepes. Some really, does a really great crepes. Gay character, though.
We had crepes.
Like, excellent.
Crepes. Yeah.
Mm. Oh. So what are some other characters that, like, are kind of accepted by the community that aren't necessarily like there's, you know, Bert and Ernie is like a long running thing.
I mean, it's more of a joke than anything.
Yeah, it's more of a joke than anything. Yeah, for sure. But there are definitely other characters that are kind of pulled in. The Teletubbies are at least one of them.
Yeah.
We didn't really want that, though.
And yeah, like, we were is just... it really the thing they did? Is it really a thing, though? I mean,
no, it's really
so
not.
Strange? Exactly.
Like,
that's like, doesn't one have a triangle or something?
That the
purple
one has
the
purple a triangle.
Tinky Winky. Tinky Winky.
They can make on a head that's like a hollow. Like, yeah. God.
I saw the Teletubbies for the first time when I was in England, and that shit was weird. And then they came over, and when I came back from England, they were all of a sudden in the U.S.
And
I was like, no, yeah, exactly. No, they followed me. And then they were gay. And I was just like, are you saying they're gay because they're purple or because of the triangle?
Or they're British.
British. Yeah, I'm not sure. But like, this is one of those things that I don't think like we wanted it. But like the straight people are like, the purple one's fucking gay.
That's the gay one.
That's like, the gay one.
The like, we don't want it. It's like tough shit.
Yeah,
like, it's yours now.
No, seriously, it's like Kanye. It's like Kanye got kicked out. Got uninvited to the cookout. We didn't want the purple Teletubby.
No.
Well, it's the Milo Yiannopoulos of children's cartoon characters.
Oh,
just like nope,
we don't want him either. Yeah.
Were you just saying the Republicans didn't want Kanye there? Is that what you were just?
No, none of us wanted him to show up. Black people didn't want Kanye. They uninvited him to the cookout because he was a Trump supporter.
Oh, the other side of it. Okay. Yeah. No, I thought the Republicans didn't want him, and he got kind of shoved on the Republicans because
wasn't there a comedy sketch or something about like. you know, the race trading, race...
well, be careful how you say that, because race trading.
Oh, yeah, trading. okay, trading yes. With a D.
Yes.
With traded. A D. Traded. No, it was at...
that was Chappelle Show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
yes.
Where the Wu-Tang Clan became
yes.
Chinese,
yeah.
I think.
Yep.
That
yes.
Was, yeah, that was Chappelle
and,
Show.
And the draft.
And,
they call,
and
yes.
Eminem officially became black,
yes.
I think.
Yes,
and... the white people got to keep OJ, I think.
Yeah, what, white people yeah. got to keep OJ.
We had him anyway.
Oh, isn't he dead yet?
Yeah, so we need a gay draft, I think. Is
that, is that, what, is that
we,
what needs
yeah,
to happen?
Yeah, we do.
Just to officially indoctrinate Bert and Ernie into the...
gay?
What yeah. What do you have against Bert and Ernie?
I don't have anything against Bert and Ernie. I'm just saying that, like, if this is the queer dodgeball of picking teams, I want to pick
something better.
Yeah. Something is not.
I
mean, like,
I'm gonna pick someone with a good throwing arm.
You look, can't
I want
interest.
Oscar. I want Oscar
well,
the
actually,
Grouch.
Actually, you can
okay?
because then I
because
would actually
if
follow.
If Oscar the Grouch right? is not a militant lesbian, I don't know what is.
Oh my God! Wow!
So they just live in trash cans, and like look like fucking pieces of.
That trash can does not have a Subaru of... sign on it.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. No, I'm gonna leave that alone,
wow.
and just let that just hang out there, yeah, and let everybody take their own conclusions from that.
Okay.
That Jeez. Lesbians have green hair and live in trash cans.
Yeah, they, live in trash cans.
Yeah.
I mean, we call it Richmond. Trash
that
hey, 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 easy.
It's, I love
yes.
easy.
It's a dirty town, but it's my dirty town.
That's exactly. That goddamn right. It's my dirty town.
Exactly.
It's actually less dirty than I'd like it to be. It's way less dirty than it used to be.
Way less. No. VCU has cleaned up the dirt, and yeah. Richmond is nowhere near as dirty as it used to be.
Yeah, fuck
fair
you,
enough.
VCU.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, we're,
it used
we're
to be
getting
stanky.
A little yeah. long in the tooth Tangent. On this episode. We ran a little long in the first half, but I do want to definitely hit up the eye-opener characters.
Yes!
Characters that help people Ugh. Discover their inner gayness when they were coming up in gay land.
All right, so mine...
I think that was a TV show.
Mine was Angelina Jolie.
I have a feeling
okay.
you're not the only one that had
but,
that...
But specifically, Angelina Jolie as Lara Croft. In Tomb Raider.
Wow, that's actually a different take because
yeah.
normally it's either Geely or not
Gia.
Geely,
Gia.
Or Girl
no.
Interrupted.
Nope. This was because I like women who can kick my ass.
That's fair.
I'm sorry, her in that movie still couldn't kick your ass. She was a weak portrayal, Laura.
Don't ruin my fantasy.
I'm sorry.
Okay, look.
Just,
look
I'm just being real. That was
take this from
that
him.
Was a
you're
shit
harshing
movie.
My mellow.
You want some weed?
We got some beer over here.
Got a glass of liquid weed over there.
No, that, I mean,
no,
as
I don't
far
want
as
it.
Women
please,
that could
I
kick,
don't want it.
As far as women that could kick your ass, that portrayal of was not.
Look, all right.
It,
I was.
Okay.
I, this was like the summer after my freshman year of college. I.
How old are you?
I'm 35.
We're the same age. Oh yeah, I guess yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a couple years on you, but yeah, that's
no,
about right.
We're the same age. I'm 35.
Yeah. Well, I'll be 35 next month, technically.
You're 35.
You're 35. Yeah. I'm 35. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. It was summer after my freshman year of college. I was recovering from surgery, and Tomb Raider was on HBO all the time. And so that's what I watched all the time. And I was kind of like,
big old boobies shaking.
Like, I was like, yeah. I was kind of like, okay. Why do I keep watching this?
Hard nipples and all that.
Yeah.
I mean that like, I mean I get yeah. it. I get it.
I was like, this is how I know I'm bi.
I totally understand that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
What about some Murphy?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to hear this.
Oh, well. So I echo the sentiment of femmes that can kick my ass. Because my moment came when I was a little younger, and I remember my dad going, hey, Murph, you got to come in here and see this. Obviously, he didn't say that because, you know, code names and shit. But, hey, Murph, come here. You got to see her outfit. And I was like, okay. I came in. It was Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman doing
yes.
backflips
yes.
in a vinyl outfit with a building blowing up behind her and going, meow. I was just like, I love you. You can murder me. These are feelings. I have a lot of feelings.
Feelings are
Hello.
Occurring. In
yes, I see her outfit.
Physical reactions are happening.
The outfit is super. I really like the outfit.
I really like the outfit.
Thanks
the outfit
for showing this to me, Dad.
Thank you. what film did you say this was? Batman Returns. Excellent, excellent.
We should definitely have this on VHS.
Yeah, no, I think
totally own this on.
Also need a VCR in my room.
Yeah, no. By the way, is that butterfly chair still in there? Excellent, cool. I'm gonna, yeah. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. I'm in outer space now. You guys can say pretty much anything because I'm not listening.
No, I was actually going to run off with that, and I can remember first time I saw Batman Returns in theaters. I was like, oh yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dead serious.
You were not alone,
dude. Yeah. Holy
Everyone
shit!
In the theater, like, yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, yeah. I knew she was. I'd seen her things before, the actress. But then, like, that's a whole new. Oh. Yeah.
Crazy, bloodthirsty, like sharp clawed, wielding a whip, kicking the shit out of people.
And just, yeah.
Yeah, you all right over there, Murphy?
Taking charge. What?
You gonna make it?
No, I'm going to list a whole bunch more adjectives and pass
we need to start, like, putting a, we need to put, like, one of those roll-along, like, Rubbermaid things in here with towels. You can just, like, hand people towels to sit on.
Look, I'm fine. No. I wore jeans, bitch. I planned.
Jeans also don't hold but so much
That's
liquid.
True.
It's true. We've had upsets before.
Thick thighs save lives.
It's true.
And couches.
And couches.
Now, couches.
I haven't really discussed this much on the show at all, but I wouldn't even call myself bi because I'm pretty much like girls are rad, like big fan. But
I mean they are.
Yeah.
I've been told lately the term is heteroflexible, where it's like mostly straight, but with a little bit of a curvature to your signature. You know,
yeah.
There's a
yeah, that's fair.
So does
yeah.
that cover like the appreciation of a sexually attractive male?
No,
kind
I,
of
I think it's
not necessarily.
That, that's just not being a douchebag.
Oh, like, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, well, where's the line at? You know, as far as
the
like
line
what's
is like
not
that
douchebag
you're actually
or,
like okay.
No, he's hey, attractive like, fucking dude. Like I get it. Okay, like move on.
It's
right?
more. I think it's in the line of like the early low end of Kinsey scale. If you're looking at like not zero, but like in the one and two range,
yeah.
kind of like one would be like you're like I'm actually attracted to this person. I don't know if I would do anything about it. I'm not comfortable there, but I can definitely be attracted to this person. And two is like I might.
That's
it's like you look at Johnny
particular...
Depp and you're just kind of like, all right.
For me, it was, you know, Johnny Depp would have been a better choice for me, but I did not see 21 Jump Street until I was already in a, until I was already a man.
Aww.
Point Break.
Keanu? Was it Keanu?
It was actually, it was not just Keanu. It was just the whole situation.
Yeah.
Keanu and because little Swayze action.
It was like angry dudes punching each other in wetsuits. And I'm like, yeah.
That's fair. Also, I mean, I think that like, actually, this is a perfect lead-in because I think that everyone can appreciate Patrick Swayze for different reasons.
Well, also, I think it was
he
a
was
nice
a very
lead-in.
Versatile actor.
I've discussed that I have
True.
A big thing for Lori Petty, and also she was fair. Also in Point Break, so it was just like, oh, this is an easy transition into me just being attracted to everyone in this movie.
Yeah, that's
and,
totally.
And the weird thing is, you're right, it was Patrick Swayze, but for me, actually, I saw him in his fucking silk-shirted self in Ghost before I
yes.
saw Point Break.
Yeah, I saw Ghost before Point Break.
And I think that put
slidey
him in a
silk shirt.
Right? I thought that put him in a different like place for me as far as cinema people go. Before, you know, if you see him in that light and then you see him in Point Break, totally different characters, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. Well,
Ditto.
I, my first
Ditto.
Swayze
yes.
viewing was
That's why I say that movie now.
His role in To Wong Fu.
Yeah.
To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
The Body.
That's right.
I mean, the whole cast, though. I mean, Wesley
oh
and John Leguizamo.
They were
everyone
killed
it.
Incredible.
Right?
I love
and,
that movie
oh gosh,
so much.
Just Stockard Channing. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Stockard Channing. Holy
yeah.
shit.
Who, if you don't know that name, was Rizzo in Grease.
Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about Catwoman and Batman. Talk about
yes.
the original Catwoman, Julie Newmar.
Yes, Julie Newmar
from Batman 66.
Yeah.
Describe
fuck.
Her and don't use
circle.
The word statuesque.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Full
so apparently
circle.
Catwomen in general are just super gay, apparently, or gay adjacent.
Not mad.
No.
Well,
no.
I mean,
I have not
Anne Hathaway was super fucking sexy in Dark
yeah.
Knight Rises.
Anne Hathaway is sexy.
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
Well, though,
I love
you know,
Anne
in
Hathaway.
The comics, though, our two queer icons are Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, which I actually like that.
Yeah.
That's a fun switch. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy when all three of them run around together, but that's a whole other story.
You can't wait to get your
Anyways,
fucking movie. Yeah.
I still need to borrow those comics.
You can.
Did you say well, you can't or
doing,
you can't?
Yeah, you can.
Are they okay, doing the Birds right. of Prey movie? Yeah, they're doing the Birds of Prey.
They're calling it something else, though.
They're doing Birds of Prey, but they were the Gotham City Sirens.
They're doing
the,
a Sirens movie.
Sirens, yeah.
They're doing
are
a Sirens.
They?
Well, yeah, it's going to have Harley, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman, right? Isn't that what they're doing with the
I don't know if those are the characters. I know Harley's in it, and it's like also the emancipation of Harley Quinn is like the
yeah, but I thought Poison Ivy was supposed
okay.
to be in that too. And
well,
all
I think
the,
that would make sense.
I thought it was Birds of Prey.
Whether
they're
lovers or close friends, they're
yeah.
deeply into it. Anyways,
yeah,
anyway, back to Tuong Fu. I just really wanted to recognize that I appreciate their queer romance. And I think it's a much better relationship. Anyways.
Now, we are right at the end, but there is one more movie that we needed to discuss before we got out of here.
There's so much I need.
No, there's like 80 million movies.
I know.
But
like, I haven't even...
Only could fit in so much.
But I haven't talked... No,
that's
because...
That's what
never
she
mind.
Said.
Yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a way, and
that's
maybe
what he or she or they said.
Yes. That's what we said.
That's what we said, yes.
But there's so much to touch on, whether it's Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, whether it's the iconic director James Whale, who was the director of Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein, and also was the subject of the film Gods and Monsters.
Invisible Man, too, I think, right?
Mm. I believe so, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Mm. But and then on top of being the film Gods and Monsters being about the life of James Whale, he was played by the utterly iconic Ian McKellen, who, if you want to talk about a fucking queer icon,
yeah,
let's talk about Ian McKellen.
Talk about bromance.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Both queer icon and bromance.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Him and Patrick Stewart together are the most adorable.
I know Patrick Stewart isn't at all gay. I want Ian and Ian McKellen to be together because it would make me so happy.
He is the fucking perfect example of the right kind of ally.
Yes.
Where it's not even a thought in his mind. Like, he's super, like, supportive of, but, like...
He's the perfect example of non-toxic masculinity.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Where he's masculine as fuck, but it's not throwing shade on anybody for being masculine and being masculine.
And
right?
He's sensitive and, like... Yeah.
And hard on sleeve. He's had conversations about some shit he's gone through in his life. Like, really dark stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
That is
like with his mom and
just some really messed up stuff that he's been pretty open about to raise awareness about it. And like,
absolutely,
if you want to talk about
bravery, that, man,
to be able to be open about that kind of stuff is huge, especially as being that kind of an icon. That's massive.
Yeah. The other God, there's so many things that I do want to talk about. Can I glaze by one more and then talk about the don't make fun of my hand.
I wasn't making fun of it. I was just
so the one of the other really well-known films that a lot of the films that I feel like fall into popular culture involve drag queens. And so we have the difference between La Cage aux Folles, which came out in 1978, and The Birdcage, which came out in 1996. And while I still kind of want to fight the sun, I definitely want to fight the sun in both those movies because fuck you, stop making your dads push away their lives because you are uncomfortable. That's some bullshit. But the tone of those movies shifts drastically in that time period from the original to the remake, and not just because it's a different director, but because like we are starting to see the shift in the way that homosexuality is perceived, and it's partially because of location, but also just slowly making progress, and that's kind of nice to see in films.
Do you think some of that too might be due to the actors? So like in the 90s when we had Robin Williams and Nathan Lane, but what about in the original? Wasn't it Michael Caine and somebody?
No.
Michael Caine was in the original.
I can't remember the original actors, but it actually has to do with the scenes and the way that they portray them. Like in The Birdcage, where they're Albert is practicing being more masculine. They're trying to quote unquote pretend to be straight to pass as like...
I remember that.
Which is just awkward. I mean, his portrayal of John Wayne's Walk is amazing.
Yeah,
but
it was pretty great. Yeah,
but you know, they accidentally bump into another person who's just like, "Hey, watch it, careful!" And then you know, he tries to get all like butch and gets the shit kicked out of him. Well, in the original, they're talking in a bar, and these dudes basically like, "The fuck you doing here?" and like throw slurs at them. Like it's a whole lot more hardcore.
I got a different perspective from Birdcage, and I'm not saying you're wrong because fuck that kid. Like, and my perspective is not saying don't fuck that kid. Like, fuck that kid. Period.
Wait, we just go a whole different path? What are you saying?
What I got from the Birdcage and why I kind of appreciate it is though the kid is an asshole for asking that of his parents to like hide who they are as a person. Mm-hmm. I think the movie itself informs that as being the wrong decision by the end of it, where he is like, this is not okay, and he's got the outside pressures of this not being his life, that he's not gay, and he feels the pressure of an outside world that's not accepting of it, and he bends to it, which he shouldn't have fucking done. This is his parents. Like, he should have, like, stood by and supported them. But then he realizes, as other people of much stronger values against this change their minds about it after having some real interaction, he's like, oh, yeah, I am an asshole. This is stupid. So... like the movie itself informs that this kid's being kind of a dick, mm-hmm. and that the real champion of this situation is killing ignorance, is exposure to different people and different lifestyles. And exposure itself will be like, okay, so like you're just people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is that, and that is a storyline that runs in both of the films. And like they both have the same resolution. But I mean, watching your father's partner of how many years leave with their toothbrush because they're so heartbroken.
Yeah.
Fuck you, kid. Fuck you. It'll be better without him, so I can pass and try to meet my girlfriend's parents. Blah blah blah.
Like, yeah.
I still want to drown that kid in a toilet. I don't care.
I think you're supposed to want to do that.
No, so the La Caja Fall is the original. Birdcage is the remake.
That's the hardcoreness of the original, what you're saying.
No, like that's the remake. Yeah.
I don't remember that from the
remake. Yeah, I remember that from the remake. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where he leaves and then he comes back in drag, right?
So Armand goes to get Albert and is like, look, never mind all of this shit. I share my life with you. Like, he goes.
Oh, that's just, right.
And gives him the palimony agreement. He's like, no, you're my partner, 50-50 in everything. Like, you know, it's the equivalent of like a marriage agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And the stake that he holds in his life. And he's just like, no, this is where my commitment lies. This is just some bullshit that
I was also really young when I saw that too. And I was like 13, I think.
Yeah.
They decide to try to make it work as where like Albert pretending to be the uncle. And then later on, Albert comes out in drag and, you know, rocks the scene, but...
I do remember that.
You should watch it again as an adult. It's a very different ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember it's as a kid enjoying it. Like, I definitely mm-hmm. know it was, like, it was a drama, but also had very comedic parts. Like, I remember... And also, it was like, Robin Williams. Like, I fucking followed that man.
It's funnier as an adult.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
and the original one sounds like it was definitely a product of its time because that's what it was like, but very hardcore because, again, it was hardcore in the 70s, right? Like, I mean...
It's still fun.
Right?
It's
I mean, good. Like, they were... Yeah. Very, very just aggro, fucking toxic, disgusting towards anything like that.
That's kind of the final thought of this is kind of the best way to sum this up. What? Yes, Murphy. We are like 20 minutes over already.
I know, but can we at least just talk about, just mention Steven Universe and how wonderful and beautiful it is and the fact that they have asexual representation and bisexual representation and trans representation and it's wonderful. And
she
it's,
just did.
And it's,
there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
That's it. All I wanted to
say. Done.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Done.
One thing that is kind of a major conversation that's happening in cinema, in literature, in comics, all of that right now is the difference between portrayal and representation and mm-hmm. stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming from an era where people of this community were stereotypical characters that were seen as like villains or jokes. Or like
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace had a bit of that. I mean,
they had a lot of that.
Jack the character was the gay punchline a lot of the time, and because it was another gay character that was calling out how ridiculous he was, that was why it was okay at the time. And now we've progressed to a point where that's not going to fly as well as it used to, and for good reason. We've progressed where there's just characters that happen to be gay, and mm-hmm. that's becoming more part of the parlance. The characterization and exploitation is still a wire walk a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want...
Very much so.
You don't want every character, like, I don't want them to act like the stereotypes of gay. And it's like, there are gay people that are flamboyant. There are gay people that, I don't know, are lumberjacks. Like, you don't have... There's not, like, one way to be.
Right. You want to know one of the shows that actually did a really good job of just making their gay characters just be regular-ass people? Grey's Anatomy. And
I know nothing about that show.
I understand that, but what? Callie was a wonderful bisexual character, and
she bounced between two big characters.
Yep, she bounced between two big characters, and her wife was they didn't make it like a big fucking deal.
That's cool. Was
really cool. Like, yes, of course they had to have the thing where Callie's family freaked out because they were Catholic.
Once religion's involved, it's fucking...
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But, like, they had a kid, they showed them going through a divorce a custody thing.
Yeah.
Like it was like they were a regular ass couple.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. The fact that they were gay, like, I mean, yeah, it added a different flavor to it, but they were treated exactly like all the other couples on the show, which was really cool.
I got moments of that as well, and I'm mad that it kind of blew up the way that it did, was in the Star Trek movie where Sulu's character was portrayed as a gay character, like when they met up with his partner and their kid, and it was just an offhanded thing where there's no big, like, ta-da, but it was absolutely an homage to T'Kai that portrayed the role.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is not a gay character, I think this is stupid. And it's like, and there have been moments where characters change their sexuality at different points, but if it's never been approached before, then it's like, well, yeah, it was never really discussed if this character is straight or gay. Like, then, so you, it's open for interpretation.
Yeah, it was like, why does the default have to be straight?
Yeah, and also something that wasn't mentioned, the characters that find a different path during the story, which is like the cheerleader from Heroes or Willow in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, we didn't even discuss that.
I know. Well, but we also now didn't mentioned. Talk about
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine we didn't talk about. There's
or Sense8, like,
or Pose.
How about a Six Pose. Feet Under? Michael Hall's character.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't talk about that. He dealt with a lot of shit with that throughout the series.
He did.
So, clearly, like,
even the Todd in Scrubs.
Oh, the Todd, that's right. Yeah.
God, I forgot about that.
He's interested in other ways, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So clearly, like, Nauer's not going to do it to sum up all...
No, it's really not.
The LGBTQ representation in film, TV, comics, literature, period. No, it's just not going to happen.
No.
And fortunately so.
Yes.
And hopefully, even more fortunately, that's going to be consistently more of a thing as we move forward. There are shows that are very queer focused, and there are other shows that are just, there are characters that happen to be.
I mean,
and I think both are deeply important.
I mean, honestly, we're here, we're queer, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, like, yep. It's not like there's gonna be somebody be like, but what about this? And it's like, you know what? I never thought about it that way. Guess what? No more gays. Like, that's not how this works.
Not going anywhere. Thank you very much.
Find the perfect argument to, like, no, this is clearly just a thing that's part of the human experience.
Right.
So. I'm happy to celebrate Pride. I'm happy to celebrate the representation that's been in pop culture and media. And I want to hear from our listeners on your favorite characters that you've seen through TV and movies or anything. And also, we didn't really even touch on comics, which I definitely want to have more of that conversation, because that is severely lacking, the amount of representation in comic books, but it's changing slowly but surely.
Can we all just have a hurrah for Batwoman?
Batwoman!
Yeah, Batwoman!
Yeah, Batwoman. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That's the end of this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to, the next one, I think the next full GUI is our
first episode.
First episode of our Halloween run of episodes, all spooky. All spooky episodes.
Spooky.
Spooky.
All the spoopy. So stay tuned for that. Check out all the other shows on our network. We've got 9 shows. GYpodcast.com for all that info, for links to our social media. Hit us up on our hotline number, 804-505-4484. That's 804-505-4GUI. Email is geeksundertheinfluence@gmail.com. And join the conversation. Rate and review us anywhere you can. Rate and review us. Subscribe on all the podcatcher stuff that you can. And tell your friends. The more people that listen, the more possible, like, shirt sales we get and Amazon sales, which means better equipment, more episodes, more podcasts on the network. And we also want to thank everybody that that voted for us for the Best of Richmond. We were nominated as finalists for the year of 2019.
Woo!
So we are going to the gala in October to find out if we got the number one spot. So we deeply appreciate
dust off that tux.
We getting fancy.
Dust off the tux. Yeah, like
fancy.
Legit, it's a gala. Like,
it is.
It's a whole thing.
Ooh, bitch.
Yeah. So I went and bought a new whole wardrobe.
Deeply appreciate not only the people that voted for us, but the, you know, friends and panelists that have supported us through all the years. And also all the other podcasts in town, whether nominated or not, we're really developing a real community of podcasts in this town, and I deeply appreciate it becoming more and more a part of the conversation when Richmond is mentioned. So shout out to all the podcasts, nominated or not. Shout out to everyone that listens and supports local podcasting, and all of our friends outside of Richmond that support us as well. Like, thank you so much. We're so happy. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
I'm Mike the Hobbit, and as we say here, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or not! Join us or not! Or I will swallow your soul! Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our plague begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you know to resist. We're here to take the world, everyone's an iron fist. So join us or die, join us or die, or I will swallow your soul.
GUIPodcast.com.
I'm homosexual! I'm homosexual! I'm homosexual!